So thank you for go ahead and sitting down. We're going to have one of our the first of our last, so I guess the penultimate session of the day, and it's one of the best. It's always amazing. So I don't think Yvonne needs much introduction at all, but just to say that she is one of the most I'm not even reading off her bio. This is just what I know about her, that she is one of the most respected and influential litigators in our state as far as healthcare goes. And she has been for many, many years. And we are all so glad to have her here as the chair of this conference. And just also as such an institution of knowledge of things that go on in our healthcare industry. So she's obviously a partner at Norton Rose and Fulbright and has been for many years. And we just are so thrilled to have her here today. So I will let her take it from here.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Kathy. And thank you for your thought leadership, time, incredible commitment to be the co-chair of this program. I like to start every time by saying, you know, thank the law school, thank the dean, thank the planning committee. I'm thrilled to give this presentation, and I love it. It's, yes, everybody always asks me, isn't it a ton of work because you have to give new cases every time? Yes, I'm crazy in love with it, and I'm grateful, and I never take it for granted. I also like to start by saying that I like to explain the methodology for anyone who hasn't been here before, that we look at cases all year long. I have a team of people who help me. My principal author, if you were to look at Law Review, my Law Review editor-in-chief is Daphne Andritzos Calderon, and so you'll see her name there, and I thank her. Unfortunately, she couldn't be here today. So with all of that, our methodology is we look at cases all year round. A case that looks wildly interesting next week will look wildly stale a year from now. So what we do is we pick the cases all year long, and as we get closer, then we start to narrow the cases that will go in the paper, which is far more expansive than the PowerPoint. And then we pick the ones, the reason it has the name operational is we know what you do. We know you're in the healthcare and life sciences field. We know what's important when you're going to get sued, when you're going to do a transaction, when you're going to renew contracts. And we like to just give you something to take back, to think about, things to renew, review. We like to always say, with respect to policies and protocols, if you haven't looked at them in more than a year, you need to look at them, dust them off, and see what's new in light of the comments that I'm going to make today. And so I encourage you to do that as part of your, you know, what we call hospital or firm hygiene, to regularly be looking at your policies and protocols to make sure that you're current and you're good. So with all that, I'm going to start with the now very famous Yale case. Why is it so famous? Because there's still no ruling. So I have reported on it any number of times. It does change somewhat. There's still no ruling, but it's very, very important. As all of you are considering your aging practitioner policies, whether or not you require an independent medical exam, psych exam, something else, when there's no demonstrated reason to do it, and that really is the fundamentals of the Yale case. I'll give you a few of the background. Yale required as a condition of reappointment, it's interesting, not on initial appointment, but reappointment as you're going through the process, that if you were 70 plus, you were required to go through a complete IME, independent medical exam. That was not required of anyone under 70. And it was considered to be mandatory if you were 70 and above. And again, the importance of the Yale case is with no demonstrated problem with your competencies. So there's no suggestion that you were shaking in the OR or that you were disruptive or you had any other kind of health outlier or condition. It's 70, boom, you're going to get examined. And so the EEOC took after Yale and said, first of all, it's inappropriate, improper, and discriminatory, and we want to dig deeper. And so they have spent years gathering data from Yale.